says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Crop somewhere near the edge of America. Who's gonna feed on sugar and junk? A hungry mouth will eat anything. Edge of America. Edge of America. America, who sister is a battered woman, battered by a battered man. Today than yesterday, don't even want to think about tomorrow. Edge of America, edge of America. Our lives, we don't all have to fall. Edge of America, the edge of America.
Music from Anishinaabe singer-songwriter Annie Humphrey from her Makoshe Music CD. The song is the title track, entitled Edge of America, a song about those living in poverty on the edge of survival in America. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Social, economic, and environmental justice is a primary mission of Yat Kedishi Native Center. Most every Wolf Mountain Radio program focuses on these human rights. Much of our networking with other organizations and events are based on social, economic, and environmental justice issues, which we monitor through Yat Kedishi Native Center's Keneally Goa Social Justice Human Rights Project. Yat Kedishi's Kaluskawachinabe Speakers Bureau often provides presentations on these important justice topics at conferences, schools, and community events. Recently, Yat Kedishi Native Center was asked by Florida Gulf Coast University to help convene a social justice and human rights symposium with a panel discussion focused on this topic as experienced in the nearby Southwest Florida farm worker community of Immokalee. This student dialogue event, planned by students working with FGCU's Center for Environment and Sustainability Education, was a very special and important student-organized forum. It opened the eyes of many students, whom many had little knowledge of the poverty and many injustices that occur not very far away from campus. Southwest Florida exemplifies many of the serious social, economic, cultural, and environmental justice issues found in many parts of the world. The Immokalee case illustrates many of the North-South political and economic development issues evident between developed nations and less developed nations, the so-called Third World. Coastal Southwest Florida is a very wealthy area whose population is largely rich white Americans. Inland Immokalee is a very poor, mostly migrant farm worker community whose demographics is overwhelmingly Mexican, Guatemalan, Haitian, and others from Latin America and the Caribbean. Immokalee is well known to listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio since we have been an active supporter of farm worker justice as an ally to the Immokalee-based Coalition of Immokalee Workers. Many of our programs have covered CIW struggles over the years, such as their Yum! Brands Taco Bell 4-year boycott, as well as their current campaign targeted against McDonald's restaurants. In today's broadcast, we listen to a promotional program about the Florida Gulf Coast University Social Justice and Human Rights Symposium that features two student organizers, Donna Roberts and Jessica Salamano. The program also features National Student Farm Worker Alliance Coordinator Sean Sellers from Immokalee, as well as myself, Ones Pritzker. The promotional broadcast was a WGCU-FM radio Gulf Coast Live show with host Russell Lewis.
From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Florida's richest county, Collier, also contains the state's largest farm worker population in Immokalee. Over the past several decades, support advocates, including the New Student Farm Worker Alliance, have sprung up in defense of that farm worker population. From health care, housing, and education, to unsafe working conditions, low wages, and human trafficking, this community's list of needs is lengthy. Today on Gulf Coast Live, we explore farm worker advocacy in Southwest Florida, and especially what role student advocates play or can play. Farm worker advocacy this hour on Gulf Coast Live. Tonight is the inaugural Terry Tempest Williams Student Dialogue at Florida Gulf Coast University. It's organized by students with the theme Human Rights and Social Justice in Immokalee. Panel discussion hopes to raise awareness about the needs of our neighboring farm worker community. Joining us now to discuss that need and the efforts behind farm worker advocacy are FGCU students Donna Roberts and Jessica Salamano. Roberts and Salamano organized tonight's panel discussion. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And by phone from Immokalee, National Co-Coordinator for the Student Farm Worker Alliance, Sean Sellers. Hello, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks very much for joining us. Appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sean, let's start with you. You're in Immokalee. Give me a sense what it's like right now there in Immokalee.
Immokalee, things are picking up. The tomato harvest is slowly beginning. Over the past month or two, we've seen a steady increase in the number of migrant workers coming into the community, which sort of follows the annual cycle. The harvest runs from usually late October or so through mid-April. And over the summer, many workers travel north to work in other harvests, sometimes as far north as Pennsylvania or Michigan. Now our folks are returning here to work. It's a pretty lively feel to the town.
So basically the workers more or less just follow the crops?
Yeah, many do. Some set down, you know, roots in a particular community, but many workers do follow the harvest up the East Coast, sometimes into the Midwest, depending on what crop or what the likelihood of getting work in that crop is.
How can you characterize Immokalee compared to other farm worker communities in Florida?
Well, I might not be the best person to answer that question because I haven't spent much time in other farm worker communities in Florida.
Or just in general.
I think one of the things that distinguishes Immokalee as a town is that in many ways it resembles more of a labor reserve than an actual community that you or I may think of. It's a town that often nearly doubles in size during the harvest, which means several thousands of workers are coming here in search of work. And the housing conditions that most workers live in are pretty atrocious. Many workers live in trailers, and these trailers are definitely not taken care of well by the landlords. The rents are extremely high, and that, coupled with the extremely low wages, means that workers often have to live in overcrowded conditions. There's a general lack of services in Immokalee for most of the community. And in general, I mean, it's safe to say that the farm worker community here has been excluded from the social safety net or what little remains of it in this country.
And briefly, how did the Student Farm Worker Alliance come about?
Student Farm Worker Alliance is a national network of students and young folks that are working in solidarity with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, which is a farm worker organization here in town who we sort of take our leadership and direction from. And we formed in 2000 as part of a march that the CIW and some other farm worker organizations put together from Quincy to the Governor's Mansion in Tallahassee. And that was about a year before the CIW launched its Taco Bell boycott. And with that boycott, Student Farm Worker Alliance grew and truly became, instead of just a network of Florida activists, it became a network of national student youth activists. So that's a little bit about our history. And the reason we were important in the Taco Bell campaign is because Taco Bell's target market was 18 to 24-year-olds. So it made sense for the coalition to reach out to students and youth, and that's sort of how FFA grew.
Let's bring in our university students here. Donna Roberts, why did you get involved?
Basically because Jess and I both work with the Center for Environmental and Sustainability Education at FGCU, and the students that work for the center, we had been thinking about putting together an event that was organized strictly by students and primarily for students as well as faculty and community members. So we started looking at, okay, well, we've been focusing on environmental issues, but really when you think about sustainability, it's so much more than the environment or the natural environment. It's our social environment, it's our cultural environment, it's our political environment. When you start to look at some of those broader issues, knowing that the community of Immokalee and the migrant farm workers and the conditions are literally right in our own backyard, a 45-minute drive from campus, yet you really hear so little about it, we thought that this would be a good topic to raise some awareness around.
Jessica Solomano, same question to you. Why did you get involved?
Well, to follow up with what Donna was saying, you know, we have a joint feeling on this. We thought it was a great opportunity to try to bring awareness to an issue that is so close to us, you know, locally and geographically, yet very few students on campus are aware of exactly what the conditions are like in Immokalee. And we think there's a lot to be said about the fact that there are more people across the country that are aware of Immokalee and that come to volunteer, and there are students that come as activists, yet we on campus, we have very few students that are even aware of the situations or that are trying to work to improve them. So we thought that this would be a great opportunity to try to do that and raise awareness on campus.
Students are busy, as you know, leading their busy lives with classes and social things, for instance. Why should students care about what happens in Immokalee from a migrant farm worker standpoint?
Well, because in a sense, we're all connected. We're all interconnected, and what happens to them affects us. What they do affects our food. We all eat. We all eat every day. We eat tomatoes. If we go to Taco Bell in the past, you know, we ate the tomatoes that they picked, and there's a chain, and what we do affects everybody else, and we should care what happens to them.
Don Roberts, looks like you want to chime in here.
Well, for me, it's also, we're so privileged in this part of the world, in this country, and Southwest Florida in particular. I mean, I remember not long ago reading that Naples had the highest percentages of corporate CEOs of any city in the United States. Yet 45 minutes inland from Naples, you've got these conditions that are really pretty tragic. When Sean Sellers and Melody Gonzalez of the Student Farm Worker Alliance came to our first planning meeting when we were still trying to figure out what do we want to do with this student dialogue event, and Sean did point out that you've got students from all over the country who come and do alternative spring break work here, but hardly anybody in this region even knows we exist. That, for us, was a big alarm that we needed to do something.
In your view, what are the critical needs in Immokalee?
Well, I hope to be able to answer that question more thoroughly after this evening. The first things that come to mind would clearly be fair wages, working conditions that are respectful of human rights. I know there are quite a few gender issues at stake there. I think the community probably doesn't get the health care that it needs and deserves. Educational issues, of course, are at stake. A couple of years ago, I saw a documentary. This one, I think, was focusing on some migrant worker communities in California, and just the reality of these young people going to school and then having to be uprooted in the middle of their academic experience, in the middle of their academic year, to go to yet another community so their parents could have wages and work. It really affected me. I mean, we don't even like to think about having to move or to have a holiday away from our friends and family, but yet these kids, the life that they find themselves in, it really creates a lot of compassion if you allow yourself to think and feel what's going on.
What do you expect to come out of tonight's meeting?
Well, it is our hope initially to just raise awareness among not just students, but the campus community as a whole. And it is also our hope to instilling this awareness and maybe this passion that can arise among the student body, that we can start taking students down to Immokalee to not only see it, but also begin to work and possibly do service projects, maybe do literacy projects with the children in the schools, or just assist in any way we can.
Sean Sellers in Immokalee, how many members are in your coalition?
Well, we're not a membership-based organization in the sense that you sign up as an individual member. We're sort of a loose-knit network, but we have contacts in all 50 states at over 300 colleges and universities and high schools. So we're a fairly large network. We work with a lot of other national student organizations like United Students Against Sweatshops, the Student Labor Action Project, MECHA, which is a national organization of Chicano and Chicana students. So we have a pretty broad scope.
Don Roberts, if I could, just to ask you, as we heard, there's not a whole lot of members here, but what kinds of efforts, in your view, should be made to try to reach out to those people in places like Immokalee and elsewhere to let them know of the conditions that are there?
Well, that's a big question, and I think it really would need to be addressed at a multitude of levels, from our political and community leaders to our university leaders, professors. But basically the bottom line is we're each individuals, and if we choose to be so empowered, we can create a great deal of positive change in our lives and the lives of those around us in our communities. In fact, that's one of the reasons that we decided to name the dialogue series the Terry Tempest Williams Student Dialogue. As many of your listeners may know, Terry Tempest Williams is an amazingly inspiring writer, activist, educator who came to our community last year and inspired so many of us just in terms of her work as an environmentalist, as a writer, and the difference that one person can make. I think we all just have to look within ourselves and in our lives and take inventory of what talents we may have and what are our passions, and put those to work in whatever way we can. And, Immokalee is a community in need, and we are a community of tremendous resources intellectually, financially, and I think it's time we step up to the plate.
But do you think, Jessica Solomon, let me ask you this question, do you think, though, that you can be successful in your efforts to try to draw attention to this matter?
Absolutely.
But why?
Because anything can be done. I mean, with the right intent and with hope and with the good intentions that we have. And we have such a great student resource base here. And I think anything can be done as a youth activist if we have the intention. That's all we need. That's all we need. We have the energy. We have the resources. That's all we need, is the people to move. All you need is a small group, and we can do anything.
Well, we've got to take a short break. But first, I want to say thank you to you both for coming in as we can continue our discussions. Donna Roberts and Jessica Solomano, thank you so much for coming in today.
You're welcome.
And
thank you.
They're participating. You're welcome. They're participating tonight in a panel discussion on human rights and social issues in Immokalee. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live. My guests for the rest of the hour are Sean Sellers, the national co-coordinator for the Student Farm Worker Alliance. He joins us by phone in Immokalee. And we'd like to welcome to the program by phone from Naples, ecologist and activist Ones Pritzker. Mr. Pritzker lives in the Immokalee area and is a longtime supporter of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. He's also a board member of FGCU's Center for Environmental and Sustainability Education, which is hosting tonight's panel discussion. Welcome, Mr. Pritzker.
That's great. Greetings. Thank you, sir. I'm a Native American person as well as a community activist. And one of the reasons why I want to thank WGCU Radio for this program today is that Immokalee, in many ways, is like a third world country. And it is a situation where people really do not look very much at the political, economic, cultural, and environmental issues that really support the well-being and way of life that many people here in Southwest Florida enjoy. And the issue of farm worker justice the issue of police brutality, the issue of racism, the issue of just the poor conditions that many people in Mockingly live with every day is really a subject that is not heard very often. So I want to first say thank you to WDCU Radio for this program today and for FDCU as an institution for having this program tonight sponsored by the students.
Well, you followed migrant farm worker issues for a long time. How effective can advocacy groups like this be?
Well, it's very, very important because not only are we talking about social and cultural and economic issues, but we're also talking about environmental issues. Many farm workers, including myself as a native person who grew up in the Northeast as a farm worker picking a lot of strawberries and blueberries and cranberries, have become contaminated from pesticide, herbicide, insecticide spray. And so it's a situation that also deals with environmental health. And across the country in the last 20 years, people of color, African American, Native American, Asian, Pacific Islanders, and poor white people have come together and formed what we call an environmental justice movement, focusing on how over the years poor people in America, especially minorities, have been victims of a lot of environmental racism. And coming together with organizations like the National Student Farm Worker Alliance, working with the Coalition of Mockingly Workers, is a way in which grassroots groups across the country have been able to really put pressure on multinational companies like Yum Brands, the parent company of Taco Bell.
And we're gonna get to that in a second, but let's back up if we can.
Sure.
As you think about the voices that can try to raise awareness, how optimistic are you that it can make a difference in the long run?
Oh, I think if you look at the history of America, students in particular have played major roles in most every social justice movement, civil rights, ending the war in Vietnam, the current tragedy of the war in what's now called Iraq and Afghanistan, have largely been fueled by student activism. The environmental movement has also benefited greatly from student activism. And I really think that what Donna Roberts said and Jessica said earlier, as well as Sean said today, that individuals can make a great difference. And the Center for Environment and Sustainability Education has, in addition to the Terry Tempest Williams lecture, a series of lectures called the Rachel Carson Distinguished Lecture Forum. And Rachel Carson proved that one individual makes a tremendous difference in educating the world citizenry about environment and social justice issues. And I know Native America people in particular would not have really had a lot of improvement and benefits over the years if it wasn't for our allies in the environmental justice movement, which is, again, a people-led movement. So I really am an advocate of the environmental ethic of thinking globally and acting locally.
Sean Sellers, in Immokalee, as you think about Immokalee and as you think about the challenges facing that community, do you hold out hope that conversations like the one happening tonight can make a difference?
Oh, absolutely. I think one thing that we've really learned here in Immokalee is that there really is a value in creating alliances between farm workers in the community of Immokalee and folks on the outside who can serve as their allies. The Taco Bell boycott was a very successful model of how that alliance can bring major pressure to bear on a multinational corporation, eventually forcing them to accept the demands of the farm worker community here. I think one important
we mentioned earlier about this Taco Bell boycott. If you can just briefly sum up, what was it about?
The Taco Bell boycott basically was a boycott campaign that the Coalition of Immokalee Workers launched in April of 2001. And this was the result of several years of intense local mobilization in Immokalee, where the CIW was putting pressure directly on the large corporate growers. That's companies like Six Cells Tomatoes, Gargiulo, very large multinational growers that are based here in Southwest Florida and have operations up and down the East Coast, some in California, Mexico, Puerto Rico. Farm workers are excluded from the National Labor Relations Act, which is offer law that guarantees most workers in this country minimum wage,
mm-hmm.
the right to organize, sort of minimal protections that we've become accustomed to as workers in a first world country. But farm workers are denied these basic protections. So originally the coalition was campaigning against these growers for improved wages and for these basic rights. But it became clear in the late 90s that this strategy was not working because these growers could simply wait out the coalition. They could wait out the pressure. So the Taco Bell boycott was a way of sort of rephrasing the question and looking at how the supply chain, how the agricultural industry works. Who are these large corporate growers selling to? Well, increasingly, they're selling to large corporate fast food companies or other large corporate buyers like Walmart. And these corporations, these food buying corporations, such as Taco Bell and its parent company, Yum Brands, which is, by the way, the world's largest fast food corporation, these companies have tremendous market power, which means they're essentially able to set the prices that they're willing to pay for their produce. And this is something, this is a model, a pattern that we see replicated throughout every sector of the global economy. It's not just about agriculture, it's about apparel, it's about electronics. It's about companies being able to squeeze their suppliers for every possible bit of cost savings. And that's something we definitely see happening in the agricultural industry. So the Taco Bell boycott was a way of addressing this dynamic and forcing a company at the top of this pyramid, at the top of this supply chain, to accept responsibility for the wages and working conditions of the workers at the bottom of this supply chain, i.e. the farm workers. So there were two basic demands of the boycott. One was that Taco Bell agree to pay one more penny per pound for the tomatoes that it buys from Florida-based growers and ensure that that penny gets passed down the supply chain to the workers. The second demand was that Taco Bell adopt a code of conduct guaranteeing basic labor rights for farm workers in its supply chain and adopting a zero-tolerance policy for forced labor, because one of the things that the Coalition of Immokalee Workers has done is uncover six cases of modern-day slavery since 1997. And this has resulted in the liberation of over 1,000 workers that have been held in what can only be called conditions of slavery. And this isn't just a, you know, rhetorical use of the word slavery, but it's slavery as defined by the U.S. federal government and prosecuted in court by the U.S. Department of Justice.
Now, the boycott is being called a success. I'm curious, how do you quantify what exactly is success?
Well, it's success in that after 4 years of campaigning, Taco Bell conceded to every one of the coalition's demands. And I'd like to take a step back and explain a little bit about how this victory was made possible, because there's a few important lessons that other social movements can take away from this campaign. First of all, it's very important to understand, not only in the context of the boycott, but in the context of social change in general, and especially efforts like this, that this campaign was led by the workers. This wasn't a case of quote-unquote advocates telling the workers what they needed to do or speaking on their behalf, but this change truly emanated from the workers themselves in Immokalee, who were organized in the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. And what they did was they were able to reach out and create very strategic alliances with two constituencies. One is students and youth, who make up the target demographic of Taco Bell. Taco Bell wants to sell its products to 18 to 24-year-olds. They spend hundreds of millions of dollars every year convincing 18 to 24-year-olds to buy their products. So it was very important to have them involved, and that's sort of where Student Farm Worker Alliance came into the picture. The second constituency that the CIW reached out to was communities of faith, so churches, synagogues, temples. For example, the Presbyterian Church, at its highest level, endorsed the boycott and devoted financial resources and institutional support to this campaign, as did the United Methodist Church, the National Council of Churches, which represents over 50 million Christians in the United States. So this sort of informal alliance created what ultimately became a perfect storm of pressure that forced Taco Bell to agree to the demands of the workers.
One of the consequences of that is you can imagine that the higher prices ultimately be paid by consumers, correct?
Well, that's not actually the case, because if you think about it, the workers' demand was to have one more penny per pound for the tomatoes that they buy.
Mm-hmm.
How many pounds of tomato are on a taco? Not even an eighth of a pound. I mean, it's a fractional amount. So the cost, if a cost were to be passed on to consumers, it would literally be fractions of a penny per taco or burrito. So ultimately what happened is Taco Bell and Yum Brands just ended up, you know, paying this cost themselves, because it's so marginal to a company that does $6 billion in business a year, you know?
And when you talk about cost, I think we need to talk about cost to society. You know, I said earlier that a market in many ways is like a third world country. There are a number of issues besides farm worker justice that when we speak about Immokalee, not too long ago, there was a plan to really allow a major cement asphalt plant and major trucking route to go through this part of southwest Florida. Now, if that plant was to be located west of I-75, that wouldn't have even be considered. Many of you might remember my involvement years ago when Collier County wanted to locate a highly toxic hazardous waste site in south of Immokalee, which would have been detrimental to an independent Seminole community. So there are a number of social justice issues, racism issues, that also relate here to Immokalee in addition to the worker rights of farm workers. And I wanted to mention that, getting back to the subject of FGCU, one of the major requirements or guiding principles of the university is to encourage students to become more concerned, aware, and involved about the world around them, and that being educated in the 21st century has a responsibility, not just learning about your own particular subject area, whether you're going to become a nurse or an engineer or a biologist, but also to be concerned about the well-being of all life in the future and your role as a citizen in the 21st century. So I think FGCU and the Center for Environment Sustainability Education, which I'm proud to serve as a board of advisor on, through these lecture programs and public events and community involvement, help students on campus and the general community become more aware of critical issues facing the well-being of all of us on the planet.
We're talking farm worker advocacy in Southwest Florida today on Gulf Coast Live, and we'd love to hear from you. 1-877-GCU-TALK, 1-877-428-8255. My guests for the rest of this program are Sean Sellers, National Co-Coordinator for the Student Farm Worker Alliance, and Ones Pritzker, who is a longtime supporter of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. Ones Pritzker, I wanted to address a question to you. Do you anticipate other boycotts in the future?
I certainly hope so, because the Taco Bell boycott, as Sean mentioned earlier, can really be a model for grassroots community people taking responsibility for improving their own lives with the help of people like students and other folks in the community. Again, I don't want to speak for CIW. They're able to speak well for themselves, and the work of the Student Farm Worker Alliance, which I support, is great. I am aware of future plans for efforts to fight Subway, McDonald's, and Burger King, who also are culpable in social injustices and helping to improve the rights and well-being of farm workers. But I think people in Immokalee are people who are largely unheard of and have very little political influence in Southwest Florida, Collier County, and I am really appreciative that Florida Gulf Coast University can play a role in helping to bring to the public's attention critical issues facing poor people here in Southwest Florida. And I think FGCU, as part of their principles and as part of the student learning goals in terms of having ethical responsibility and having a culturally diverse perspective and having ecological literacy, can work a lot more in Southwest Florida and in Immokalee in particular.
You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kedichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kedichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kedichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kedichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kedichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kedichi's Kinonwatakusi Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kedichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. Contact Yat Kedichi Native Center. Write to Yat Kedichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kedichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
The most important songs I've ever written is called Dear Mr. President. We're going to play it for you. Dear Mr. President, come take a walk with me. Let's pretend we're just two people and you're not better than me. I'd like to ask you some questions if we can speak honestly. What do you feel when you see all the homeless on the street? Who do you pray for at night before you go to sleep? What do you feel when you look in the mirror? Are you proud? Goodbye. How do you walk with your head held? doesn't end. Were you a lonely boy? Are you a lonely boy? How can you say no child is left behind? We're not dumb and we're not blind. They're all sitting in your cells while you pave the road to hell. What kind of father would take his own daughter's rights away? And what kind of father might hate his own daughter if she were gay? I can only imagine what the First Lady has to say. You've come a long way from whiskey and cocaine. How do you sleep while the rest of us cry? How do you dream when a mother has no chance to say goodbye? How do you walk with your head held high? Can you even look me in the eye? Take a walk with me. Would you?
Dear Mr. President, a powerful song for justice to President Bush by Pink off her live New York concert. Well, dear friends, we are nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio. I hope today's program on student activism for social justice and human rights encourages all of our worldwide listeners to be Earth Justice Warriors. One of the most outrageous examples of injustice is the case of our Native American brother, political prisoner Leonard Peltier. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, Leonard Peltier is now in his 30th year of illegal imprisonment as a result of the United States FBI's lies to falsification of so-called evidence towards Leonard for the 1975 incident at Oglala, Lakota Country. Please visit the official Leonard Peltier Defense Committee website, www.freeleonardpeltier.org, in order to find out ways in which you can help our international movement for his freedom, for true justice in this case. Once again, I urge all of our worldwide listeners to please visit the official Leonard Peltier Defense Committee website, www.freeleonardpeltier.org, in order to find out ways in which you can help the international movement to free Leonard to have true justice in this case. We shall conclude today's program with the Leonard Peltier Honor Song from American Indian Movement co-founder Dennis Banks' cassette entitled Still Strong. We thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, Kinon Wintakwesin, to all of our relations.
hear it in the thunder of the coming storm, and in the beating of our hearts, in our love so strong. You can feel it in the wind that carries our prayer, and in the sound of our drums, free Peltier, free Peltier, free Peltier, free Peltier, free Peltier. Tried and convicted by FBI lies, and the witnesses they threaten, and the truth they still hide. You can't imprison a warrior for fighting for his people. You can't jail a man for protecting Mother Earth. America, free yourself of your own hatred and fear. America, free Peltier. America, free Peltier. They said the only way to kill an Indian's heart was to put him in prison, locked away in the dark. Well, after 24 years, he's still here. His love for his people is the power of his prayer. You can't imprison a warrior for fighting for his people. You can't jail a man for protecting Mother Earth. America, for yourself, for your own hatred and fear. America, free Peltier. You can hear it in the thunder of the coming storm, and in the beating of our hearts, in our love so strong. You can feel it in the wind that carries our prayer, and in the sound of our drum. Free Peltier, 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 free Peltier.
Creator of this divine and harmonious universe, is nadi down to twin in what cave, is quinico unne quatrotrot, is nadi down to twin you twin. We got the swaggy you used to twin in what get your quahneti quinico thos net won't net narawenta. We ask of you to come together with all of our brothers and sisters in this divine and harmonious universe to put a loving and harmonious touch to everything that we have in this universe, and to help the free Leonard Peltier, and to give to us your love and your healing, your understanding, your wisdom, your grace, your balance, your purification ceremony in our life, energy, divine consciousness, and that means that this prayer goes on forever.